Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Naralo monthly call on Monday, 12th of August, 2013 at 19 UTC. On the call today we have Alan Greenberg, Murray McKersher, Glenn McKnight, Gordon Chilcutt, Garth Bruin, Evan Lebovich, Darlene Thompson, Eduardo Diaz, Luis Howell, Michael Miranda, Gareth Sherman, Seth Reese, and Bill Tennis. We have apologies from Olivier Crépin-Leblon. And from staff, we have Sylvia Vivanco, Matt Ashtiani, Gisela Gruber, and myself, Julia Charvelin. May I please remind all participants to please state their names before speaking for transcription purposes. Thank you very much, and over to you.
Thank you. This is Garth Bruin again. Darlene, if you're on the line, can you read the action items, please?
Yes. Action items are 2.3. Naralo call time will observe VST. Basically, what it is, we're going to be at 3 o'clock Eastern or noon on Pacific, no matter what happens to the time zone changes for daylight savings. 2.4, staff, on a March 18th, 2013 ALAC briefing call on RA changes, staff, Maggie Milliman and Sam Eisner, were asked to identify ICANN's economic advisors and provide the economic study document that was the basis for changes to RA 3.3.6 and 3.3.7. Call at large staff, please forward this request again. This is the fifth call for this information. 2.5. Note, standard agenda items 3 and 6 have been combined into a meeting super topic number 3. 2.6. All Durban Naralo participants, please add meeting briefing notes to the at-large reports. So these briefing notes are ones that meetings that you went to that were other than at-large meetings. 2.7. Eric Bruner-Williams to provide analysis of active and non-active ALSs. 2.8. Staff. Please provide for future election instructions en français and espagnol. 2.9, staff, please provide for future elections a test vote on a null item to ensure all ALSs have access and functionality. Too many ALSs have reported problems receiving the ballots. 2.10, staff, please advise on the status of 10.2.1.1, translation of the ICANN news alert in Spanish and in French. 2.11, staff, 10.3.3, on tracking travel-related reimbursement, we need a better tracking system with full disclosure. Conversations via Skype, etc., cannot be tracked. 2.12, staff, please advise on the status of Indigenous People Fellowship access in North America. 2.13, runoff election for Naralo Secretariat will be held once the operating procedures are ratified. And that's it.
Thank you very much. This is Garth Bruin again. Hello? Am I still on the call?
I just thought we were operating in Morse code.
Okay. That was interesting.
I can hear you fine, Garth.
Okay.
I'm
all
here.
Right.
This is Wardle.
Okay. Fantastic. Okay. Just so everybody, you know, who hasn't been following along very closely, just to give everybody a rundown, we're going to be trying to adjust, make some updates to our operational procedure document. And Alan has been working diligently to outline many of these changes. Some of these changes have been in the works for a while. They're just general updates. Something that came up and became fairly important recently was the fact that we have no provision within the current procedures for dealing with a tie. And right now we have a tie vote for Secretariat, and there are no provisions for dealing with a tie in our procedures. So what we are going to do is we're going to adjust our procedures through a vote of its own, to make sure that the change is accepted by the community for procedures to deal with a tie. And then we are going to have a runoff vote for Secretariat again. And hopefully, you know, everybody is happy with this kind of arrangement, and everybody is prepared to move forward on that. Now, for anybody who was just on the call before it officially started, Alan said that he had to step out and do something. Alan is behind a lot of these changes and is really important to be part of the discussion. And I cleared the agenda so we could focus on the rules of procedure. But since Alan has stepped away, I do want to give anybody a chance to bring up any other item besides the rules of procedure before we start talking about that. Does anybody have anything critical they want to discuss right now before we get into that section?
Guys, this is Sylvia Vivanco from the staff.
Please, Sylvia.
Yes, I just wanted to go through the action items whenever you think it's convenient, maybe after the ROP's review or right now.
No, you could. You
to clarify what is pending, what is needed from our
committee? You can do that right now because we have a little bit of time. That would be wonderful.
Okay, great. So for 2.4, for Aitan staff to follow up with Margie Million and Sam Eisner, I followed up with Sam over the weekend, and she has informed me that at the moment the document is being edited and it will be posted in any time from now, so it's imminent.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, regarding the 2.08, I would need some clarification on what is needed regarding the future election instructions in French and Espanol. What is exactly the document that would need?
This is Garth. So if Louis is on the call, Louis raised some of these issues previously about having more language availability. Louis, can you speak to any of these requests? Louis, if you're talking, we can't hear you. Okay, this is Garth again. One of the issues that Louis raised was just some basic translations of some of the common documents that we use. Some of the standard emails that go out. One of the things that I noticed in the last election is that the members who are French-speaking didn't get the election instructions in French, and I think that that's absolutely critical.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. In French, it's more critical at this point than Spanish, right?
Well, this is something that we're going to be discussing also. And I think that we're leaning towards bringing more Spanish into the discussion. But as far as my understanding goes, French is actually an official language of the region. And if anybody wants to jump in and correct me or clarify that, be welcome.
It's an official language or part of the region.
Yes.
Okay. And Spanish is also an official language of the United States. So all three are official languages of the region.
Okay, so I will work with you, Garth and Darlene, to identify the documents that need to be translated and create some sort of priority so we can work with the translations team, Christina, so we can have these documents translated.
As
you understand that that the interpretation and translation services within ICANN is very overwhelmed most of the time, so we need to...
Sylvia, in terms of French, we're not changing anything today.
Okay.
We're actually lessening it, so let's worry about getting the rules approved today and not worry about the process for handling translations.
Alan, this is Garth. I think while you stepped away, we started going through some of the action items.
Okay.
And that's how this discussion came up.
All right. Sorry about that.
That's okay.
It's fine. We just want to make sure that we understand what we need to do and the timing that we need, that we have available to do it, and the priorities.
Okay.
Then, so 2.10 is also related to translations. 2.11 on tracking travel-related reimbursement. If you can explain this action item, Garth.
Yeah, absolutely. This is Garth again. So occasionally we have had some, mistakes or delays in terms of travel sponsorship. And we've had this kind of, informal back and forth where I have been collecting issues or complaints from the membership about specific travel items, forwarding them on to staff, and then, manually following up to make sure that these issues are resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And from what I understand, these kind of travel snafus or, you know, bumps in the road, they happen across the board everywhere. And we were just wondering if there was a way that we could formalize this so that there are tracking numbers or ticket numbers applied to these items so, you know, they don't get lost in the shuffle. And if
Perfect.
I can't ever consider anything like this.
Okay, it's a very good idea. I think if Matt is on the call, I would like to ask Matt if he has any insights about this, the travel reimbursement procedures and how they are handled, or if there is any tracking number that we can provide to the community.
Hi, this is Matt for the record. To my knowledge, no, but that doesn't mean there is. It's just that I don't work in constituency travel anymore.
Okay.
This is something that we can look into, but as of right now, I'm not aware of any tracking numbers that are used by constituency travel.
Okay. Eduardo, do you have your hand up? Do you have a comment about this or something else? Eduardo?
No, yes. I wanted to comment on the translational documents that, you know, we don't need to translate them in Spanish right now because we don't, you know, it depends in the future. Maybe if we get another ALS that require that. I want to have Spanish somewhere in the documents, you know, and say, you know, it's appropriate. So if we get an ALS that requires something like the French people, then we can go ahead and do it. That's the only comment I have. And this is Eduardo for the record.
Thank you, Eduardo. This is Garth. We're very aware of this, and I consider it to be important. Sylvia, back to you. Thank you.
Just to respond to Eduardo, and we will translate the documents, and we just need to identify what are the most important documents that need to be translated into French, for example, at this moment in Naralo, and start sending the documents to translation services. It takes a little bit of time because they have a lot of work, but if we start prioritizing them, we can make a list of the documents and go through them, and I think we will achieve at least the minimum that Naralo feels that must be translated into French. That can be a project that we can undertake, you know, the translation into French and then into Spanish at a later time.
Okay. Thank you, Sylvia. This is Garth. Mm-hmm. I think that the election instructions are critical, and those aren't going to change too much over time, so we should be able to use the same or a similar translation each time, but it's just important that everybody gets those translations clear. Glenn, you have your hand up. Please go ahead.
Yeah, just on the issue of expenses, with NOMCOM we use, and Louis will have to use this so when he takes on that position, and Eduardo's familiar with this, we use an ICANN expense form, and we just scan in our receipts. So I'm more than happy to share that form with staff if they like that form as a tracking form. It's well laid out as Excel spreadsheet. So just to go back, I had an incident with our Métis performers back in October of last year, and it took months and months for those people to receive payment. So that was an illustration of example, and they didn't call ICANN, they kept calling me. So just as a process, that was a good example of people expecting payment fairly promptly, and it didn't happen.
Okay. Alan, you have your hand up, please?
No, I was just going to point out to Glenn, the question wasn't how to submit them. The question was how to get ICANN to pay.
Well, this is Garth. I don't think it's not always about payment. Sometimes it's just about some kind of detail or some issue that needs to be resolved.
Well,
so.
Sometimes it's about payment.
Yeah.
Okay. And regarding the 2.12, yes, I have been in the status of the Indigenous People Fellowship Access.
Okay.
I have been in contact with Janice, and she has told me that she will be sending a response regarding this issue in the next couple of days. So I will get back to you very promptly on this one, Garth.
Okay. Thank you very much. Let me see if there's anybody else.
That's all from my side.
Glenn, Alan, you still have your hand up. You still need to speak.
Hello.
Yes. Glenn or Alan, do you need to speak?
No, I'm sorry. My hand's still up, and I'm not on my computer right now.
Okay. All right. Okay. So are we done then,
Thank
Sylvia,
you.
With the action items?
Yes, from my side, I am done. And any additional concerns or questions, I will get back. I will get in touch with you under link so we can go through this via Skype or email. Yes. Okay.
Garth, this is Louis Hill speaking. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you, please.
All right. We had a storm here and went through some phone problems. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm back.
Okay, great. I'm glad to have you here. Okay, moving down through the agenda, we are going to jump over agenda items 3 and 4, and we can come back to them if we have more time. But I want to start right in with agenda item 5.2, which is a review of changes to our rules of procedure. And there are, it looks like we have about 12 sections that are being changed. Some of the sections have more than one item, and I've denoted which ones have more than one item. Alan has sent around a redlined copy and a clean copy of the proposed changes. If anybody doesn't have a copy of that, please speak up. Darlene, you have your hand up. Go ahead, Darlene.
Yes, just very briefly, I was hoping that we could add an item 5.2.0 to address paragraph number 4.
Darlene, I followed that conversation on Skype, but now I'm at a loss as to which paragraph, which section of the document are you talking about?
Paragraph number 4, where it says public documents will be produced in English and French. We are suggesting that public documents will be produced in English, French, and Spanish as appropriate.
Okay. All right. I will add that to the official list. Did I hear somebody else speak? No? Okay. All right. I will add that to the official list. Moving quickly, and these are just briefs of the changes. These aren't the exact changes. I would refer anybody to the actual document. Change to number 7, removal of the phrase, as long as they fulfill the language requirements, and the expansion of person to persons. Change to section number 9, the addition of ALAC rules of procedure to the list of guiding documents for Naralo officers. Change to number 11, requirements for candidacy from statement of interest submissions to nominations. Now, this is this is just a difference between submitting a document, which is a statement of interest, to run for an office, to actually getting a nomination. And you can self-nominate. So I think that this is just a way of dealing with people, you know, submitting redundant statements of interest when they have a statement of interest on file, which is still current. So as long as we still have a procedure where, you know, there is an official call for somebody to run for office. Alan, you have your hand up, please.
Yeah, just for a clarification, the term statement of interest here predates our use of wiki space where people have statements talking about what they're interested in by many years. We ended up using the same term for that as we did in other things earlier, such as this. And, in fact, our practice has always been a nomination process. So this change simply removes a confusing term which is used in too many different ways in ICANN and adjusts it to reflect what we actually do. Thank you. Garth's line just dropped. Darlene, do you want to take over or do you want me to?
Oh, why don't you go ahead since you're the author of most of this, or unless you want me.
No, I don't mind. In any case, so 11 changes is in fact changing to what we actually do and removing a confusing term. The change to number 12, there are two changes. One is, since we're now officially talking about nominations, we need to make sure their nominations, if they're not self-nominations, are accepted. And the first sentence now allows for the acceptance if necessary, and adds the word normally to ALEC decisions normally should be made through rough consensus, and this goes along with its proposed change in 13. Garth back yet? No. All right. In 13, we are saying that the chair, if the chair determines that consensus cannot be reached, or in the case of a contested election, if the chair believes that it should be done purely by a secret vote instead of having open discussions, which the ALEC in general has moved to, that is, you shouldn't have open votes talking about individuals because it ends up with a lot of bad feelings, which there's no real need for. So this says the decision may be taken by a secret vote, and adds the in the event of a tie, and makes explicit that we're talking about an ALEC member in this section, the chair will cast the extra vote. So essentially all we're doing here is saying the secret vote, that the consensus is optional and contested election at the option of the chair. And I believe that has always been, again, this reflects our actual practice and doesn't really make a functional change in how we operate. Murray, you have your hand up. I am assuming Garth is not back yet.
Alan, this is Silvia Vivanco. Would you like us to post the document on the AC room? And if so, which version would you like us to post?
Probably the red line version.
The red line. Okay, we'll post it.
We have Murray.
Yes, Alan. I'm curious as to whether this the problematic election number 13 had been dealt with in other ALEC ventures, and you seem to have the most experience. And it just aligning what we're doing with what everyone else is doing, or is this a completely brand new issue?
Well, the only thing we're changing here is saying that we do not necessarily, if in a contested election, we do not necessarily have to have an open discussion to try to reach consensus. That is, we can have a vote. And my understanding is most other RALOs always do those by a vote.
Okay,
I don't believe we're doing anything in against what other RALOs do.
Okay, I was just thought consistency would be good.
If anything, our normal rules saying we operate by consensus is not aligned with other RALOs, and I don't think we'd want to change that. But.
Okay, thank you.
Sylvia, your hand still up?
Oh, no, sorry, it's an old hand.
Okay. Garth still not back yet? We'll go on to the next one. The next one is an interesting one. It is the section on how to amend these operating procedures that we're talking about. And for reasons no one quite understands, although we always gave the unaffiliated members a single vote, just as an ALS has, it was left out of this section. And therefore, in the last change to the rules, and in fact in this change to the rules, unaffiliated members do not have a vote. And this normalizes that to say it not only includes ALSs, but also the pseudo-ALS of unaffiliated members. Questions? I don't see any hands up. No one yells out. We'll go on to the next one. Section 16 has two changes. The first one is changing the word vote in the first sentence to participate, since we do, in fact, say that some elections may be decided by consensus. This just factors that in, and it says you don't necessarily have to vote if, as long as you participate. That's what counts. And it adds another provision saying in the case of an apparently dormant or non-existent ALS, and if you look at other regions, we have had situations where the ALS representative themselves say, we don't exist anymore, please take us off the list. It shouldn't be necessary to wait 2 years to do that if they themselves have decided that they don't exist, or there's other clear evidence they don't exist, and this simply gives the North American region the opportunity to let the ALAC know about it also.
Questions? Alan,
This is Garth. I'm back on the call.
Oh, you're back. Okay, then we got up to, we just finished 16. We're at 17. I'll turn it back over to you.
Thank you very much. This is Garth. So number 17 has several changes, three at least. The first change is that the unaffiliated Norella members must submit an affirmation to at-large staff. The second one is that failure to meet the criteria terminates your membership as an unaffiliated member. The unaffiliated individuals will adopt a verifiable process to ensure that their elected representative can reflect the views held among the membership as with his or her vote. Now, just to be clear, all of this section and the changes refer to unaffiliated members. Does anybody have a comment, question, or concern about that? Alan, please go ahead.
I have a comment or two.
Yes.
The first paragraph, the change from statement of interest, is removing yet another definition of statement of interest. So it's interesting to note in our own operating procedures, we had two different uses of that expression, just to illustrate the problem in ICANN. And the ceasing to meet any criteria was obvious to some people, not obvious to others. And we decided again to make that clear, that you don't, qualifying once 5 years ago doesn't mean you still qualify if you no longer meet the criteria. The last change in the red line version you see there is, number one, is taking out a very operational issue that should never have been in cast in concrete in our rules, of saying what technical process to use for the voting mechanism. And adds in, when we were looking at the ties in secretariat and chair positions, we realized we could have a tie in unaffiliated members. And what I did was I took the same rule that we have for ALAC members up above and saying the chair can cast another vote. In this case, the unaffiliated representative can cast another vote. So we don't have to worry about reholding elections and things like that. There's one other change which does not show on the document, and I don't know if, Garth, was it somewhere that was posted, or can we put it in the chat, or I can put it in the chat, perhaps.
What was the other change?
We recognize, and that is the first sentence of the paragraph saying the unaffiliated individuals will adopt a verifiable process to ensure that the vote cast by their elected representative reflects the views held among their membership. That technically is not possible because we normally hold secret ballots. So there's no way to go in and look at what the vote is. And I suggested some alternative wording, which I will put into the chat if this works.
Is that different from what you sent me?
No, it was the same, but I don't. Does that show up anywhere?
I put it into the agenda, so it might not be in the chat that's listed by staff.
Okay, well, it's also in the chat. I'm not sure if it's in the agenda. That was for number 17. No, that must be an old version of the agenda they have. In any case, let me read it out, but it is in the chat right now under my name. And
okay.
I'm suggesting that the sentence be changed to the unaffiliated individuals will adopt a verifiable process to ensure that their elected representative can reflect the views held among the membership with his or her vote. I think that covers it.
So, I mean, what are some of the problems that we run into, at least in terms of the unaffiliated vote that requires, I don't know, these extra layers? I just want everybody to understand it.
The problem was a few years ago we had a representative for unaffiliated members who simply voted on their own principles and didn't bother asking anyone. This was trying to recover from that.
Okay, I understand. Okay. I mean, how many unaffiliated members do we have on the call? I know that we have Murray on the call, but do we have any other unaffiliated members on the call?
Does
anybody have their hand up?
I don't see any others on this call.
Okay. I want to make sure that anybody who has an issue is able to raise it or object at this point. I mean, Murray, as somebody who was kind of new to this whole thing, and you participated, I guess, in your first vote this time around, how did you feel about the process?
It's Murray speaking for the record. I didn't have any issues with the process. It was a little difficult to see if I was voting in the correct system. And I think I'd asked whether the system that was used generally by ICANN was the same system that we were using for Naralo, which I believe it was. So I didn't really have any difficulties with that. The unaffiliated status, this has been useful for me to go through the details here because I may have to change a couple of things related to my unaffiliated status. But Alan's been very helpful in the past with that.
So, I mean, were the emails confusing to you at all?
Perhaps a little bit confusing, only because I didn't know the procedure. It was a little difficult to extract very specific procedure from everything that ICANN sends out or has published in various places.
Yeah.
Yes.
Garth, if I may interject.
Please go ahead.
Actually, voting should not have been a problem because each person should only get credentials in one of the votes, except for the unaffiliated rep who gets both. But for the normal unaffiliated member, they only get one. The problem is the announcements of those sometimes are not crystal clear. So everyone, I think, on Naralo list or on the ALAC announced list gets a notice saying there's a vote coming up, and that particular one is not clear. And that one we can work on to make sure next time is better.
Okay. Yeah, I think that there's definitely, I mean, I'm just noticing some issues with the with just the language that's used for some of these that confuses people a little bit. So if anybody has any other suggestions, things that we can do to clarify this, it would be great. Okay, so if everybody is comfortable, we can move on to the next item, and that would be number 18, which is participation to Naralo affairs and discussions implies agreement with the Naralo Code of Conduct. I'm sorry, does somebody have a comment?
Yeah, it's Alan. There was no change here. Curiosities of word made it look like the number was being changed, but there were no changes.
Okay. All right, number 19. This is really what has brought about the immediacy of needing to address the rules. And this is the new way of dealing with tied elections. And, you know, the way that we're going to deal with this is that we proposed, or Alan proposed, four different ways of resolving a tie. You know, there were lots of discussions about resolving ties. One of the options was the chair would, put out the deciding vote. I disagreed with that. I had strong reservations about that because you'd basically be giving one person an additional vote. Another option was to give the ALAC chair the deciding vote. I didn't like that personally because I was concerned that the ALAC chair may not understand regional differences and regional specifics. Then there was also the option of just rolling the dice. I think that the decision of flipping a coin or rolling the dice, that would always leave a bad taste in the loser's mouth and the loser's supporters. I felt that the most democratic and the best way to do it would be to have a second, smaller election among the leadership. So that's pretty much what the change in 19 reflects. So I'd like to open up the floor if anybody wants to discuss this, because this is pretty important. Alan, please.
Yeah, thank you. I'll point out the four options didn't just come from me. They were the ones that were tossed about when the issue first came up, and they came from various people, but I was the one who tried to put them together in a list, so I don't claim authorship or origin. This particular option essentially started off as saying we'll give the decision by a secret vote among the three ALAC members.
as I was starting to draft text. And that seemed to be not everyone's choice, but it seemed to be the choice that was highest on the list when we went through the various discussions and tried to get consensus. When I went through the list, I realized there are some potential problems there. That is, any ALEC position at any point may not be filled. We could have vacancies. We could also have that ALEC member whose term is ending running for the position that is currently at in dispute. And again, we didn't really want to be in a position where one of the candidates decides the outcome. So we ended up saying three ALEC members are preferably the ones who will make the decision. Adding the Naralo chair and secretariat onto that list in a lower priority option and saying take the top three who meet the position. In probably virtually every case that this will ever happen, and hopefully we won't have ties very often, it will be the three ALAC members, but there is a process if not. If we have such an unusual position that three of the five people are actually running for the secretariat all at the same time, we may not have the three left, in which case we say resort to a random choice. The chances of that happening are virtually nil, but it's there to make sure that the rule is bulletproof. Thank you.
Thank you, Alan. This is Garth. I think that any time that we don't have rules to address a tie, we'll probably have a tie. That's usually what seems to do things like that. So if nobody else has any comments or concerns about this, and they're welcome at any time, at least until after we've ratified the new rules, I'm going to move on. So number 20, all consensus decisions and votes of the General Assembly members shall weight all members equally. I'm a little bit confused about this. Perhaps somebody can background. Alan?
I would be glad to, and you should be confused. If someone, Murray or someone, has asked a number of times, and Glenn, I think, how do our rules compare to other RALOs? Well, let's talk about Latin America for the moment. Latin America has a voting rule whereby every country represented by an ALS has an equal vote. So you take the number of countries and you divide that number into 100, and that's what the number of votes every country has. If there is only one ALS in that country, they get all the votes. If there's two ALSs, they divide the votes. If there's five ALSs, they divide the votes. So each ALS is weighted to ensure that each country is equally represented. That's fine. That's the rule they wanted, and they have it. For reasons that nobody understands, if you go into the Naralo rules for running a meeting, that's what it says we do, too. We've never done that. We never wanted to do that. None of the people who participated in writing those original rules understand why it's there, but it's there. Until we can get a chance to fix that, this section undoes it.
Okay. Thank you very much.
It's about as clear as I can make it. It's still not clear.
Okay. All right. This is Garth again. Change to number 21. Where these operating principles may conflict with the Naralo rules of procedure for meetings or the memorandum of understanding with ICANN, these operating principles shall prevail. And I think that this is really kind of a way of maintaining the bottom-up process, if I'm not mistaken.
Well, it's partly that and partly saying rule number 20 counts, because rule number 20 is at odds with something in the procedures for meetings, as an example. The other example is several years ago we changed the rules for who can be an unaffiliated member. There was an extra one originally. That is, you can't belong to a contracted party. So some people are less equal than others. We took, after much discussion, we removed that rule, but no one noticed it was also in the memorandum of understanding. I'm not sure why it's in the memorandum of understanding, but it was there. So this essentially says that that these rules, which are the most recent things to be changed, are the ones that count where there's discrepancies between them. Obviously, when we do a better cleanup, we actually have to fix the discrepancies. but this should cover it in the interim.
Okay, wonderful. So that is all of the changes, except for the one that we forgot to put in about the language, which I will add. Now, the major overall point of this is to get a consensus from the community about moving forward on making these changes. This is not a vote. This is a consensus of this group on the call right now to move forward on having an actual vote to ratify these changes. So how do we want to do this? Do we want to go and vote on every single one, or do we want to vote on the whole package? What would you, I mean, unless people have an objection to a particular one. Alan, you have your hand up.
Yeah, no, I we've never done a vote on any on individuals before. They have to be approved as a package, I believe, because some of them are interrelated. Really, at this point, is there anyone on the call who has any reason, can express any reason why we shouldn't go ahead with a vote? For these to be ratified, as is clear from number 15, we need 70% of active ALSs.
Okay. All right, I'm going to recognize Darlene, then Evan, and then Sylvia. Please, Darlene.
Hi, Darlene Thompson. One question I had was with number 17, with A, affiliated Narallo members must submit an affirmation to at-large staff. That's great, but then should we not have wording there that at-large staff will then confirm that they've done so to the chair and secretariat? Because we've had situations just in this last election where someone who was not an unaffiliated member was making nominations and such like that. And if the chair and secretariat had not known that they were what their status was, that could have flown by the board. So I'm just wondering if we don't need some extra wording there. Thank you.
I can address that.
Go ahead.
I don't think we're in a position to make rules for staff in this particular document, number one. Number two, yes, there has been a gap there, and I know both Garth and I, and perhaps you also, I've lost track of who's been in the emails, understand we need to set up some procedures and document who unaffiliated members are. So that's a given in terms of keeping records. But, you know, that's also a given in keeping records of who the ALSs are, and we don't go into details here. And yet, it's something we need. It's a bit of administration we need to get right. So I agree with you. It needs to be done. I don't think it fits in the rules of procedure.
Okay.
But we better not blow it again.
Evan, please go ahead.
Hi there. This is Evan. Garth, just speaking to your issue about whether or not this should be on the package or on individual pieces. My own comment would be the whole point behind this call is to get a consensus to see if anyone has problems with any particular part of this, figure out a group way to deal with it, and then having done that, then to agree with as a single consensus on the whole package. I don't think we need to over-engineer this. Thanks.
Unless someone wants 18 votes.
I just want to make sure that it is as transparent and democratic as possible. Sylvia, please go ahead.
Yes, Gus. I just want to express a concern about Article 21, which reads that when these operating principles may conflict with the Narallo Rules of Procedure or the Memorandum of Understanding with ICANN, these procedures shall prevail. This is, I think, we have to be very careful about it because Narallo has consented to be bound by the agreement through the Memorandum of Understanding. So I don't think that legally it's possible that these operating procedures should prevail against the Memorandum of Understanding. The opposite. The Memorandum of Understanding is the legal framework.
Okay. Maybe this is just referring to the way that we operate internally. I'm not sure. Evan, you have your hand up?
Oh, sorry. I was going to take it down, but I have an answer. And I think it's essentially Garcilia's right in the sense that that's sort of like the Constitution. It's a lot harder to change. And if that document says that there's a certain thing allowed, we can't change it by a simple majority vote here. that involves the MO, that really means that we have to look longer term at changing the MOU, mm-hmm. which eventually, of course, we may want to. But I agree that the text saying, you know, that what we do here supersedes the MOU probably won't fly.
No, it won't. I'm quite sure about it. It's actually a liability for Naralo because ICANN has agreed to support Naralo with a number of activities as long as Naralo agrees with the MOU, and that's why there is a contract, and the main contract is the MOU. So in the legal hierarchy, the MOU is higher than the operating procedures. The operating procedures must conform. The MOU is the higher level, and the internal procedures must conform with the general framework that is provided by the MOU.
Alan, you have your hand up, please.
Yeah, I do. I would strongly suggest that if indeed these rules are exceed our bounds and the board will not agree to change the MOU on a reasonably quick term, we have a problem. But I believe that we need to make sure that we have a single set of rules, and we haven't had a single set of rules for the last 3 years. And I believe this is an attempt from the point of view of people reading these procedures and trying to understand whether these procedures are the ones they have to follow in becoming an unaffiliated member, and it's unaffiliated membership that we're talking about, that we send a clear message to the people who are going to our website and wiki and reading, trying to figure out what the rules are. As Murray can vouch for, it has not been easy in the past. And I believe we need to make sure that we don't have the conflict, but I think we need to send a clear message to the people who we're trying to get as our members right now. And we're not the issue is not, is it legally binding? The issue is making it clear to people what they need to do to become unaffiliated members.
Okay. Darlene, you have your hand up.
I suggest that we go ahead with this and, yes, fix the problem. I don't think we're going to be sued over it.
Darlene, you have your hand up.
Darlene Thompson. By my count, it looks like we have 14 members of our General Assembly here of 22, and so we can't take a vote on this call because we don't have 70%.
Okay. This is Garth. I think that we're just going to go for consensus, at least on the call, and not an official vote. Sylvia, do you have a further comment on this issue?
I just want to reiterate that I think that this, if there is a practical reason to put the MOU, that the operating procedures will prevail. I understand that there are practical needs, but I have to emphasize that from the legal perspective, it would be an inconsistency, so it wouldn't be acceptable. So I just want to give this word of caution for Naralo that, you know, that it's better maybe to delete it or put it in brackets, or if you would like, I can always double-check with legal, I can legal also regarding this point.
Oh, this is Garth. I mean, just as a question generally about this, I mean, doesn't our existence flow from the Memorandum of Understanding? So, I mean, wouldn't that, make any kind of literal override, you know, ultimately impossible?
It would be null, legally null, but I think that it's better that we don't make that statement that, you know, Naralo is not bound. It's like saying Naralo is not bound by the MOU. Whenever there is something that conflicts, we don't follow the MOU, and that's not legally acceptable. Because as Evan mentioned, the MOU is like the Constitution, so it's like hierarchy. You have the ICANN bylaws, then under it there is the MOU, and under the MOU is the operating procedures of each particular RALO. So that's the hierarchy. So we shouldn't...
Garth, may I suggest we consider this continue this consultation offline, and either that section will stand or be removed before the vote starts.
Yeah, I think so, too.
We're 7 minutes away from the end of the meeting, and I, for one, have to get off the call very soon.
Louis, do you have a comment, please?
Yes, this is exactly what I was thinking. I think that we have to make a difference between the rules in the organizations and the legal aspects of it. So I don't think that we're going to have an answer in 7 minutes.
Okay. All right. This is Garth. And then in terms of moving this forward, notwithstanding the Sylvia's concerns, I would like to record a consensus on moving this package forward for a vote, and we can decide in between whether or not, you know, 21 is appropriate. And I would like to ask everybody to put in their green checkbox, agree checkbox, to agree to consensus of moving this forward. And if staff could at least keep track of the consensus checkboxes. Doris, you have your hand up while we're collecting checkboxes. Go ahead. Oh, Gareth may have just put his hand up instead of a checkbox. Okay. Okay. I think that we have almost everybody agreeing to move forward. And we will have the issue over number 21 resolved one way or another before we actually take a vote. And no one is opposed, I am assuming. If you are actually opposed to any of this, and nobody spoke up earlier, please put your the red X through it. Evan, do you have your hand up?
Yes, I do, actually.
Please, Evan.
I notice in Adobe Connect, I see Avery has not put a check mark. If there is a way, Avery, if you can speak either in Adobe Connect or by voice, I'd just like to hear why you haven't put a check mark, or if it's by accident, or if you have a concern about this, I really would like to know.
Yes, it's important.
Okay. Can you hear me?
Yes, please.
This Avery. The reason I didn't put my hand up is because Jolly is the representative of the ALS, so I figured he was speaking for the ALS, and I'm just here listening.
Sorry, this is Garth. I should have made this clear because this is not an actual vote. We are actually wanting to get as much input as possible. So that's really what this is all about. We want to hear from everybody.
Okay, I have no objection.
Okay. All right. Well, then, with that being the case, unless anybody has any other concerns that they want to bring up on this call, I would like to move forward with starting the process of getting a vote for these procedures, and we'll resolve the issue with number 21, and we'll keep everybody updated as to that. Thank you very much, everybody, for your participation and your concentration on this, and much appreciated. I will talk to everybody later. Have a good day.
Bye all.
Thank you, everyone.
Thank
bye
you all.
Have a good day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Garth.
Thanks, everyone. I'm going to disconnect the audio now.